Welcome to UK Perspectives. I'm guest host Julie Rinn, director of the Kentucky Women Writers Conference, taking place in Lexington, September 15 through 18. One writer we'll feature is my guest, Crystal Wilkinson, a novelist and poet who teaches at Berea College and in the Spalding University MFA in Creative Writing program. We're talking in Wild Fig Books and Coffee in the North Limestone neighborhood of Lexington, on the patio, actually. Crystal, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So you opened this bookstore several years ago in a different neighborhood and then closed that location and then reopened in this new location. What's different about Wild Fig 2.0?
Well, one thing that's different is that we have a little bit of a different focus. We're focusing more on new books here, and also having a focus on community events. We did a lot of community events at the old store, but what we've come to appreciate is the energy here. Like, there's lots of community energy, and so we're not only doing things like readings and book signings, but we're doing a lot of things that are more that may or may not be attached to a book that the community's involved in. It's like we've done a lot of things with Kentuckians for the Commonwealth and with a lot of organizations, with Surge, with the Black Lives Matter movement, and those kind of things. So we're really excited about that involvement in the community.
But you are first and foremost a bookseller in this location, and I'm wondering if the knowledge you've gained in operating a bookstore has changed your approach to writing.
I don't think it has. Maybe it should. I've learned a lot about what readers are interested in, but I think that as a writer, I'm still sort of resistant to any sort of, I've learned a lot about things like fads in books and what's popular, but I'm not so sure I'll ever be sort of a populist kind of writer. So I sort of still stick to those things that haunt me so deeply that I need to write about them, whether or not they'll be a good seller or not. So I'm still sort of more artist than entrepreneur, I guess, in that vein. So I've learned a lot, but whether or not it's affected my writing in any particular way, I would say probably not.
In your new novel, The Birds of Opulence, I felt very at home, actually, because of all the time I've spent in Port Royal, Wendell Berry's fictional Kentucky town. I feel like anyone who enjoyed Port Royal would also like to visit opulence. Why did you want to portray a whole community?
Well, I think community's important. You know, as someone who's from rural Kentucky and a part of Appalachia, sort of hill country, community, of course, is important. And I still think that the small town community, particularly a small African-American community, is not highlighted as much as it could be in literature. So, you know, that's my home space, so I wanted to return to it in that way. And I wanted the book to reflect sort of an insider perspective as well as an outsider perspective in a small town. And I think that I will continue, like Wendell Berry has done with Port Royal, in the same ways that Gloria Naylor sort of returned to Brewster Place in several books. Opulence is a place that I'm already returning to in my writing, and so there will be other books that will be centered around those characters and in that place, because it took me a really long time to write that book, and I feel like I know, well, I don't just feel like I know, I really know those characters. And one of the things that my agent had to make me not do is just continue, because all of a sudden another door opened and I knew what a prequel would be, because I knew about their ancestors and the founding of opulence. And I started layering that in this book, and she said, oh no, Crystal, this is another book. So there are lots of information about this town in me still to write, both from a historical perspective and a more contemporary perspective as well. So I have lots of material to walk around.
Well, you should learn a lesson from Wendell Berry and never announce that this will be your last book in opulence, because I believe he did that with Hannah Coulter and then wrote another one.
Yeah. I don't know how many there will be, but there's at least one more.
In The Birds of Opulence, the novel's first narrator, Yolanda, isn't constrained by realistic boundaries on what she could and couldn't know. She even describes scenes while still in her mother's womb. Why did you decide to dispense with a limited point of view for this character?
I think with the character Yolanda, and with the whole book really, one of the themes through the whole book is the African concept of Sankofa, which has to do with the historical perspective and knowing your ancestors and having to know where you came from in order to know where you're going. So there's also a belief in not just African culture, but in a lot of cultures that of reincarnation, that people have been here before. And so that's one reason why I wanted to keep the scope open, because I really believe that babies are spirits, you know, that you get, the old time people used to say, oh, she's been here before. And I believed with such the rich ancestry of Yolanda that she would have that perspective of having been here before and knowing these things, being brought up in a storyteller family and a family that valued its ancestors.
Can you tell us about the fiction workshop that you'll be teaching at the Kentucky Women Writers Conference this month?
It's a generative workshop that's called Belly and Heart. And maybe it should be called Gut and the Heart, because I think that every fiction writer has an automatic piece of fiction that's based on their lives in some way. So that's what we'll be trying to get at. And I called it Belly and Heart because there's one story that's always on our hearts to tell, that story that sort of we romanticize, and sometimes it's a piece of our own psychological history that we sort of romanticize, and we always want to tell the story of this, be it a mother-daughter relationship or a romantic relationship or a relationship to the land. So there's one story, it's up high on our hearts, we're really close to it, we really want to tell. And then there's another story that's setting in the base of our guts that we resist telling. So the idea of this two-day workshop is that we get at both of those and create. My goal is that by day two, the participants will have at least a skeleton of a story or a chapter that's based upon that concept that they can move forward with, something they've never delved in before.
The Kentucky Women Writers Conference welcomes men to its audiences, but we feature only the work of women writers. How do you think women benefit from having a conference of their own?
Well, one thing I'd have to speak to is my own experience. The first Women Writers Conference that I attended, I can't even remember the exact first one, but I remember one of the most influential, can't even tell you how many years ago, maybe it was 20 years ago or so, when Gloria Alzandua was here. I had the privilege of sitting at the feet of Bell Hooks, and maybe these were several conferences sort of thrown together that really impacted my life as a writer. One of my main moments that was influential in my writer's life was sitting in an audience where Dorothy Allison had us write deeply, and we were writing deeply personal things, even though there was probably 50 people in that room. And then she had some of us read it aloud. And I was working as a PR professional. I was a single mother raising my three children alone. I was contemplating going back to school. I was a sort of a closeted writer. And I had other affirmations. But here was Dorothy Allison, who was leading this workshop. And she said something to effect. I mean, I think she used a lovely cuss word in the middle of it. But she said, "That is good." And somehow that penetrated all the self-doubt. It penetrated all any kind of negativity I'd ever had. And it made my back straighter to say, oh, I can do this. I should do this. I have to do this. And so that's why women need this conference, because it affects you. I'd been to many other conferences around in the region, and I had, already been able to tap into my African-American self. I had been able to tap into my Appalachian self. But I hadn't really tapped into my woman self in that particular way until I began to go to that conference. And then there was something else special that happened. On some nights after the conference, Nikki Finney was one of the primary people that used to invite some of the writers over to her house. And of course, some of them were really famous and wouldn't come, but some of them would come. And I remember sitting in that sort of sister circle in her living room thinking, wow, here I am with my twins, being toddlers, attached to my sides. And here is this woman who I look at as an idol talking about how she was able to write and also take care of her kids and to work another job, be it teaching or something else. And it really blew my mind and opened up a whole new door of possibilities for me. So I think that the conference is still doing that. It's doing that for women who may be first-time writers. It's also doing it for students. I take great pride in bringing groups of college students every year, and so many of them get so much out of it. And sometimes they don't realize it at that moment. They think, oh, our professors drug this to this thing. And then I see them a couple years later, and they were like, I was there when this happened. Now I'm reading this author. I didn't realize who that was at this time. So that continues to happen. It should never stop.
Well, it's been happening continuously for 38 years, and so many people have their own sort of, I remember this moment at this conference decades ago type story, and it's so fun to hear those stories, and it keeps me going. My guest has been Crystal Wilkinson. She'll teach a fiction workshop and read from her new novel, The Birds of Opulence, at the Kentucky Women Writers Conference on September 16 and 17. For more information, visit www.kentuckywomenwriters.org or call 859-257-2874. A longer version of this interview is available as a podcast at wuky.org. For WUKY, I'm Julie Rinn.